Hello, this is WGLY's Lamplighter Program. I'm Howard Gunning, and today in the studio I'm sitting with Pastor Ken Fuchs. Is that right, Fuchs?
Yes, right.
Of the East Fork Baptist Church, which sits just outside of Coffeen. And we want to welcome you in the studio today.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about... Folks know I live in Highland. Where is Coffeen?
Coffeen is north on 185 from Vandalia. Mm-hmm. And if you're about 17 miles north of Vandalia, maybe 18 miles. And our little church is right on 185 on the west side of the road, about 3 miles outside of Coffeen.
And that's the East Fork Baptist Church.
East Fork Baptist Church.
And tell us about your church.
Well, it's a small country church. We have a few members. I'd like to see it much to grow, but it doesn't seem to be. I invite people and they say, oh yeah, we'll be there. They never show up. But we keep trying. And we're, like I say, it's a good church. If you want to hear the Word of God preached, that's what I preach. I don't meander very much far from the Bible. It's the Scripture, and I am a sole believer that expository sermons are what needs to be preached this day and age, because they're not being preached that way. We get too many people who tell stories about unrelated issues that have nothing to do with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. God wrote it. It's His book. I mean, He's the author with a lot of scribes, and I like to stick really close by it, to it. And if the Scripture says that, what does that mean? One verse can have so much stuff when you start unpacking it. It's unbelievable.
Sure.
So that's what we do.
So you have services on Sunday, one of your services.
Yes, we have we have a preaching service at 10:30, and then we have Sunday school at 9:30. And since we're a small congregation, and we only meet on Sunday at right now.
Okay.
I'd like to see it grow.
Sure. Is there anything going on at the church coming up this summer or this fall you'd like to mention?
I've been talking to a friend of mine who leads a band service, mm-hmm. and they're in Herrick, and they're looking this spring of coming over and giving us a concert with like Gaither music, Southern gospel, which I'm excited about because I like the Gaithers, you know. And so we're going to try to get that going, and I'm not exactly sure when we're going to do that yet, but
sure. Well, as you get the details ironed out, let us know. We can put it up on the station's Facebook page or get you back in here to talk about the concert. That'd be great.
Okay.
What else? Anything else going on?
Nope, that's about it. Every Sunday, though.
Every Sunday. So come on out at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for services East Fork Baptist Church, just outside Coffeen, off 185, you said, right?
Right on 185 on the west side of the road.
Well, Pastor Ken, we were trying to figure out, what are we going to talk about today? And you've worked on this study guide of the book of Genesis. So tell me a little bit about this. I've got a copy of it here in front of me.
Well, I was teaching adult Sunday school, and we ran out of materials. Well, we came to the end of it, and I thought Genesis is really a mini Bible in and of itself. And so I started working on this as a teaching guide, and I put it together so that it's like when you open Genesis, the first thing it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then it says that the earth was void and darkness was on the face of the deep and the Spirit of God hovered over. Well, and then it goes on and says, and God said, let there be light. Now, wait a minute. If he just created it and it's void and now he's creating, what's going on? So that generates several different theories of what you have: a young earth theory, you have an evolutionary theory, and you have something they call the gap theory, which is my personal favorite. I like that one. And so I try to incorporate all this. It's not so much something that you would read and say, oh, this is the answer, but it's more to facilitate a discussion. The idea is to I would pass it out as I was going through the chapters. I would let them have it before Sunday school so that they could get into it. I mean, an adult Bible study, people have opinions, and, you know, we want to hear what they are. And so I tried to incorporate as much of that into it as I could, and it just kind of guides the discussion. Some people say, well, you don't need all that stuff. Well, you don't know.
Well, isn't that one of the key things for us as believers, though, is to, you know, to examine the scriptures more closely,
exactly,
to see whether the things we've heard are,
yeah,
are so. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been told I dive too deep, though.
Dive too deep.
But that's how you get to know it. I mean, if you read a scripture, there's more into it than that. If you look at the Hebrew of Genesis 1:1, it's seven words. And in the middle is the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's only 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Those two put together mean absolutely nothing. But if you see what it symbolizes, it says, in the beginning, God created the beginning and the end. He created it all. And then it goes on to talk about the heavens and the earth. But it sits directly in the middle of those seven words. I mean, you know, so it's just fascinating when you think about it. You got three on either side, and you have the Aleph and Tav in the, at the end, right in the middle. So they mean nothing by themselves. But when you put it in that context, you see there's something in there that doesn't leap off to you, you know.
Let me ask you this. As you were working on this study guide,
mm-hmm.
what did God show you that something stood out to you that was either new or like, I hadn't realized that before, or I didn't see that before?
God created the universe out of nothing, okay? And that violates the laws of physics and thermodynamics when you think about it, because matter can either be created nor destroyed. And I thought about that, and I says, well, he violated all the laws. And then I thought some more and says, but they're his laws, so he made them up as he went along. And so I found that kind of fascinating. I also found out that Noah's Ark, for example, when the flood came about, Noah didn't go out and herd those animals in. They came in on their own. So, and when you take a look and you go, well, how did all these animals get in there? When you look at all the species of animals that are out there, you take a cow, for example, he only had to herd in two cows because they all stem from the same beast, so to speak, you know. I mean, we have Herefords and Charolais and Angus and Holsteins and all, but they derived from one set. It's the same thing with dogs. We have all these breeds of dogs, but they all come from the same. So it wasn't necessary to have this humongous thing that people think about when they say, well, where all these animals come from? Why not dinosaurs? What happened to the dinosaurs? Well, the environment changed. There was no, you couldn't have them anymore. And which leads to something else, but this isn't out of the study guide, but just something that just popped into my head. In the book of Job, it talks about the Leviathan and that and the behemoth. Those are seagoing and land. The behemoth is on the land, and God asked Job, you know, can you do that? It describes an animal that's taken a whole side of a mountain to eat, and his tail was like a mighty cypress. And so when you think about those things, how come they're not there? The environment changed. The whole earth changed with the fall of man when we sinned. That changed the earth and brought in all the weeds that we have to mess with, and the thistles and the thorns and the briars and all. None of that was here. We had a garden that we were to live in. And the other thing that I thought about was when Cain killed his brother Abel, and God marked him, and he went east, and then he marries a woman in the land of Nod, where did that woman come from? And I know that many scholars and theologians will all tell you that they came or from Adam and Eve. He basically married his sister. But Scripture doesn't say that. It does makes no reference to having sons and daughters till after the birth of Seth, which, so that, and I'm saying, well, wait a minute, what happened there? So could not Adam and Eve been like the prototype? And God says, oh, this is really cool, I like this, and created more humans and put them in the garden. And then when Adam and Eve sinned, it brought sin into the world, and at the same time took us all out of the garden. So that, those are some of the things I've thought about.
Well, let's see. We've got just a few seconds. Well, actually, we have only about half a minute left. So we're talking today with Pastor Ken Fuchs of East Fork Baptist Church just outside of Coffeen. They have service, Sunday school at
9:30.
And services at 10:30. And he promises that you are going to hear from the Word.
Absolutely.
You come in there. So this has been WJOI's Lamplighter program, and I'm Howard Gunning with Pastor Ken Fuchs, and thanks for making us a part of your day.
Thank you.